B-Pod Studios.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds
what
from talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok. 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Noontime hour here on Zoe and Beetle. It's a Finish Strong Friday. This week's Finish Strong Friday spotlight. Oh, well, we're here. We're finishing strong. Can't say the same for Mark
Zoe Beetle
and Scott and Robert. But myself, Ted Johnson, and Brendan Glasheen finishing strong here on a Finish Strong Friday. This week's Finish Strong Friday spotlight is Austin and Danny, two new licensed electricians added to the team at 128. They can't wait to get you guys rolling and serving customers soon. Welcome to the team, Austin and Danny, and get ready to finish every job strong at call128.com. So just quickly to close the loop, and we get back into our quarterbacks, and I guess Glasheen's dropping something in now. I guess Curran's got something new up at NBC Sports Boston. So
sure
I want to get to that in a moment.
Okay.
But just quickly on Field of Dreams. And I heard Felger going off on this yesterday. I listened to a lot of Fred and Rich today.
Yeah. Everybody's crushing it.
Excellent. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of that movie either.
Mm-hmm.
I know you said you liked it. That's fine.
I was a fan of the movie. I
like
the
people
movie.
Like it. Fine. Like I'm not gonna shame. That's not my style. That's not me.
That's not who you.
That's
are.
Not who I am. Yeah. So I'm not gonna shame you for liking Field of Dreams, Ted. You know.
I mean, I think it was 15 when it came out. To be fair,
you know, I'm not. You know, it's not because I'm physically intimidated, but you know, I'm not gonna shame you for that. My big critique with the whole stupid game is it's like baseball takes one step forward. I gave them a compliment earlier in the week. Got outside my comfort zone. I said, maybe baseball knows what they're doing. They might be partnering. Might be. Emphasis on might. It's not a done deal. And, you know, baseball shoots themselves in the foot more often than they help themselves out. But I saw earlier in the week, or maybe even late last week, I forget when the story first came out. Oh, they're going to partner with Barstool. Brilliant. Like, that's the demo you need. Males, 25 to 54. Think whatever you think of Barstool. Baseball needs to reach that demographic more than anything. They need to. So Barstool, brilliant, great idea. Do a game of the week with Carrabas and Dallas Braden and whoever, I don't know whoever else. And that's what you do, and you do it the Barstool way, and now you're hyping the game up, and maybe, you know, younger males in their 20s and 30s are interested in baseball. Maybe. At least take the shot if you're baseball. What an idea. Great idea. Outside the box thinking. It's something that the sport desperately needs. You know what it doesn't need? More Field of Dreams references, more living in the 80s,
in the past, okay.
More yep. Duke Snyder? And who was the other bum he was talking about? More of that?
Gil Hodges,
thank you. Yeah, bum might be a little harsh. Baseball needs less of that. It needs less of its pastime, less Field of Dreams, less corn. Like, baseball needs less of that. It needs more Barstool. That's my whole thing. Stop thinking. The movie's 31 years old. I know in baseball land, that's like fresh. That's new. Like, they're like, well, you know, we're not still living in the 50s, at least. We're just living in the 80s. That's how baseball thinks about it. You need to reach, if not the youth of America, you need to get younger. And Field of Dreams doesn't help you get younger.
Totally get it.
Not even close.
Totally get it. So my son, you know, look, we were watching both of those events last night, and he's 16 years old. He has no clue what Field of Dreams is. But I will say this, and so your point's well taken. You're appeasing the audience that is already a loyal audience to your game. You're appealing to the older people that watch your game, which is mostly older people. However, I will say this. I always give leagues, Adam, at least a pat on the back for trying. All right? It was something new. I'll say this. It was, I don't know, I'd never seen anything like it. Where you actually produce a game. Okay. Where you have a game and you produce a show around the game that was highlighted in what a lot of people would say is it was, you know, a very, very famous kind of movie. I had never seen that. At least they gave it a shot. I will say this: if you're baseball, a Thursday night at a time when there's preseason games going on.
Great point.
How about Sunday afternoon? So they kind of missed the mark on that. I will give them credit for at least trying it. Come off as hokey, yes. I'm telling you, there's the older generation, the older demo who already loves your game. We're probably eating it up, but your point is well taken. You need to appeal to the younger audience. All that does is make the older audience that you already have loyalty from, more loyal.
Yeah, right. You don't need them. You know,
don't need them.
Grandpa already nods off in his recliner in the third inning. You already got him. We don't need more Field of Dreams. That is not what baseball should be doing. Baseball should be worried less about the corn in Iowa and more about closing the deal with Barstool.
It's such a romantic kind of sport, though, and they keep going back. Think of all the movies, so much, all the reporting. People that analyze the game are always talking about the romantic aspects of the game. Kevin Costner himself was in, Love of the Game? He was in
Bull Durham.
Bull Durham. He
likes baseball. The man likes baseball. Yeah, that's established.
Yeah.
How old is he? He's probably right in the demo that they already have.
Late '60s, early 70s.
Right.
66.
Don't need him.
Don't need him.
Sorry. Don't need him. Already have him. Don't need him. No more Field of Dreams baseball.
Zoe doesn't look 66.
That was my point.
Ted's reaction, he's concerned about Zoe's age and contract situation.
That came out wrong. I'm saying Zoe looks to me a lot younger than Kevin Costner.
Ted, Ted.
I thought Zoe looked good, by the way. You look good, buddy.
My apologies.
In your coat and tie yesterday in the game. Took the coat off.
Yeah, somebody actually mentioned in my Twitter timeline here, let me try to pull this up, that Zoe was going to hyperventilate because his shirt was so tight. But I'm with you. I thought it was here you go. It was Perry tweeted in. Guy practically lost circulation with that tight ass shirt he wore last night. That was about Zoe.
Did you see Tommy Curran's tweet last night?
I thought he was popping.
It's form fitting.
Tommy Curran's tweet about
Zoe.
That's pretty vicious. I thought.
Did he go after him a little bit?
Yeah. What did he say?
Out of bounds? Was it out of bounds?
Here it is, right here.
After both of them.
Tommy Curran last night. It's a picture of one of the TVs at the stadium.
Oh, with him and Sosi.
Zoe's brain.
Yes.
Has Bob's head always been that tiny? My God, I could fit three of his heads inside my head. Wait, is my head abnormally big?
That's not fair. That's not fair to Zoe. I agree because we all know in Zoe's head it's just a monkey clashing cymbals together. Like that's not fair.
I should have your back better, but that was pretty funny there. The camera angle last night when they were showing Bob and Zoe was like from the bottom going up. It looked like Bob Sosi connects to Zoe.
He's a small man.
They didn't do him any favors with the camera angle. It's like, can you get a head on shot?
That's true.
That would have been a little bit better, I think, for Bob there. But
it's a fair point.
Hey, Jones, no live tweeting today of the show. Interesting.
That is interesting. It must be. He needs a full day of recovery.
That's not finishing strong.
So they've done
no service on the boat.
They've done a CT scan, a PEC scan on Zoe's brain, and it's just a monkey with the. They've seen just a monkey with the.
Yeah.
The
symbols.
The symbols.
Just crashing those.
That's
together.
What they found when they did a CT scan on.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, that was when they're. Yeah. That was the activity. Yes. Glasheen, you dropped this in. I've not had an opportunity to read Tom Curran yet. It just dropped in the last, half hour or so at NBC Sports Boston. What does he have to say about the quarterback battle?
I'll just give you two sentences here towards the bottom. Honestly, at this point, this is from Curran. Honestly, at this point, I'd go as far as to say it's not a quarterback competition anymore. Mac Jones will be the starting quarterback for the Patriots this year. Cam Newton is just keeping the seat warm until the oven timer dings.
Bravo.
And Mac can be served to the NFL. What a line.
Mac. Could have got mac and cheese there. But mac and cheese can be served to the NFL. But yes, what's the other line?
Why not make the switch now if it's so obvious? Give Jones all the first team reps in games and practices, relegate Newton, and be done with it.
Okay.
In my estimation, there are three good reasons not to, and he goes into it.
Okay, so good. So let's pick up with more of Tom Curran, and I want Ted's thoughts on this, because if they do want Mac to be the starter...
When do you do it?
And how do you treat the reps this week with joint practices beginning? I want Ted's answer to that with your phone call, 617-779-0985, coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We want to talk sports in Boston. We talk to these guys.
That will now be a recycled take.
Right.
That's no, what
it's a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here comes the rookie, Mac Jones. Welcome to Foxborough. Welcome to the NFL.
Oh, look at this place. I mean, they're not ready for the next guy.
If you're Cam Newton, that's an uh-oh if you're Cam Newton. Because it was the introduction of the Mac last night, not the return of the Mac. And the crowd liked it, Ted. The crowd liked it. I liked it. Tom Curran likes it. We're going to get to his column, and I got some specific questions for you. But what's your reaction? When you hear the crowd's reaction last night, the pop, I think is how Big Jim put it on Twitter last night, and I thought that was a good way of putting it. The reaction to Mac entering the game versus Cam, which I don't remember a reaction when Cam came into the game. Maybe like some golf claps.
Let's say it like it is. I don't think it was anything that was noticeable that where you were like, oh, they're
when Cam came in.
They're clearly applauding for Cam. I did not notice a loud enough pop or anything that would distinguish that was for Cam Newton specifically.
I think they went to break though.
Yeah, well, so maybe that's why I don't know, but I don't remember seeing anything on social media about it. Maybe they did go to break. That's a good point, Tom. I just don't remember, and I wasn't in the stadium. How do you think? Well, and I heard Felger talking about this a lot yesterday. How do you think Robert and Bill reacted to the pop that Mac got last night?
My feeling is Bill hears that. He wants to admit it or not, and we all know that Robert Kraft hears it. And so if you're Robert Kraft and you hear that pop. If you go back to draft night, after Mac Jones was drafted, we all got to see a little bit of what was said in those kind of minutes right after he was drafted, when the head coach called Mac Jones and it was on video, and then you got the owner getting on the phone and saying everyone in New England is excited about this pick and you coming here. And you know what? I was kind of curious because we haven't had fans in the stands, so you don't really know. You know, you do radio. I do radio every now and then, but I listen to the shows every single day, and so you listen to the callers
and night,
all day and night. Of course, I do, Adam. And so you're not really sure exactly what is the response going to be when Mac Jones gets in there. It smacked you in the face. If you're watching the game, it was like the volume just shot up, and clearly here comes the kid, and you're like, wow. Wow, and they pan to the audience, and everybody's doing a standing ovation. Robert Kraft cares. Bill Belichick does more than he wants to admit, but Robert Kraft's in the stadium, and he hears that. Don't kid you. That all plays into, I think, whether or not Mac Jones starts or doesn't start.
Yeah, and whether or not Robert leans on Bill or not, Bill knows that Robert likes that. You know what else Robert likes?
Absolutely.
And I just saw this last night. And, you know, maybe the cameras just picked out the few people who waltzed into the stadium and bought Mac Jones as number 10. Or, you know, maybe people just bought it ahead of time. They custom made their own. They gambled and said, let's get a Mac Jones 10 jersey, because they only announced he was number 10 yesterday, which I bet, honestly, Kraft hates that Bill dragged that out so long. But I saw at the beginning of the broadcast, they were like panning around the stadium, 10 jersey, 10 jersey, 10 jersey, 10 jersey. I saw a 50 jersey. I don't know if that was Vrabel. I don't know who that was. Maybe Ninkovich, or maybe it was a Mac Jones practice jersey. Exactly. But they were like panning around, 10 jersey, 10 jersey, 10 jersey, 10 jersey. And I'm like, I mean, Robert Kraft sees that too. Robert Kraft sees all the 10 jerseys. Robert Kraft hears the pop. And Bill knows Robert sees all that. And it's like, okay, what are we doing here? Which brings us back to what Tom Curran wrote about.
Can I add real quick? I was at the game last night.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah, I was at the game.
So what was the pop like for Cam?
Non-existent.
Golf clap.
When you all run out of the tunnel.
Cordial.
You don't get the Edelman rah-rah, right?
Fair.
Because that was the guy who would lead them out of the tunnel, because Cam was the starter. But Mac had the luxury of coming off the bench before the first quarter ended. It felt like a real substitution for folks to have the proper stage to rise and applaud at the time.
They had an opportunity to kind of let Cam know what they thought, and when they had that opportunity, it wasn't that impressive. So there wasn't like anything that was that
too noticeable. When he took the field for the first time,
it was
running out of the tunnel, but when the offense took the field,
right, is
I mean, Mac Jones ran out the tunnel with everybody else. When Mac Jones came on the field,
it was smack you in the face.
People were ready to go.
Yep.
It was noticeable.
And I was curious how that was going to go. And that is something that Kraft cares very much about.
I was just going to mention there were a fair amount of one jerseys, Cam Newton jerseys there too.
Okay, there were. Okay, good. So I don't mean to mischaracterize. I just know what I saw on the broadcast, and it was all tens.
Maybe
there were a lot of ones too.
I just went to one camp practice, but they loved Cam.
Yeah.
You know what?
Cam plays to the crowd, though.
Now that you mention that, Mike Reese wrote something about, because I didn't believe it, and I put it in one of the show emails I was on. It might have been this show. It might have been when I was with Big Jim and Tony earlier in the week. I'm like, do we believe this? That Mac's getting, Cam rather, is getting a big ovation at camp every day. Mike Reese wrote that in one of his notes.
For sure.
And that is true. Okay. So maybe Cam's got the support of some fans.
Real quick. Quick question.
Yes.
When you watch the broadcast, any 12 jerseys, or did they do their best job to keep the cameras off 12?
That's
a
good
point. There were a lot of Brady jerseys there last night. Bucks jerseys, too. It was kind of funny.
I don't remember seeing a lot of 12 jerseys.
I did not
jerseys.
See one 12.
No. Ah, interesting. Kraft Sports Productions.
Let's see.
Call him, right?
Yes. So Curran, again, and I'll just rehash some of what Brendan read last segment. And this is up, you know, in the last hour now from Tom Curran. He says, honestly, at this point, I'd go so far as to say it's not a quarterback competition anymore. Mac Jones will be the starting quarterback for the Patriots this year. He doesn't say week one. Cam Newton is just keeping the seat warm until the oven timer dings and Mac can be served to the NFL. I mean, if that doesn't make you feel good. If that doesn't make you feel good. And again, Curran's not saying week one. I kind of misinterpreted this before I read the full thing. Why not just make the switch now, he asks. It's so obvious. Give Jones all the first-team reps in games and practices, relegate Newton, and be done with it. In my estimation, there are three good reasons not to. He writes, first, it's about respecting the process. This is somewhat you were talking about, Ted. The rookie has to wrest the job from the veteran, pay his dues, respond to adversity, earn the trust of grown men that he just met so they're sure he won't turn into a puddle when the ish hits the fan. Second, he writes, the pumpkin factor. As in, when will Jones turn into one? He's been almost unceasingly capable so far, but Patrick Mahomes didn't start as a rookie, neither did Tom Brady. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't. For those first three, I would point out they were all pretty good alternatives. Then he gets into Josh Allen. I think the Josh Allen alternative was Tyrod Taylor. Didn't start the opener for Buffalo in 2018 because Buffalo went with, Nathan Peterman, even worse. Take all the time you have to let Jones establish to himself and his teammates that even a very bad day is something he can bounce back from and not the start of a trend. Third, there's no real competitive advantage to letting the Dolphins know who they'll be dealing with in the opener. Play it out. Okay. So I asked you this, Ted. If they were going to make the transition to Mac Jones, when do they have to do it by?
If they're going
to
do it before week one, I think that you got one more week. I think one more week. Because
so you don't have to do it Tuesday or whenever the joint practices start with Philly.
Correct. And the next game is next Thursday night against the Eagles in Philly. And then you have the Giants. And then you have 2 weeks before the home opener. So to me, there's no reason to go do it just yet. I think you can still kind of see what you have in this next week. Let's go through joint practices. Let's see how Mac Jones responds during that. How does he do in the preseason game? And then if you want to make a move to have him start week one, that's when you do it, is I think after the Eagles game. Not after the Giants game, which is their third and final preseason game. After the Eagles game, then you have 3 full weeks. I think it's important that kind of everybody on the team knows, but even – and Bill will make this hugely kind of secretive so that none of us find out about it. But that's when you make the change, is after, I think, the Eagles game. If you're going to start him week one, because then you have one more preseason game, which my feeling is –
they're going to play him in the third game?
If they do, it might not be as the starter, because I don't think Bill wants to. If he's going to start Mac Jones week one, I don't think he wants to let anybody know that.
Yeah, and that's
I think the substitution pattern will be exactly the same, where Cam would start the third preseason game, but really Mac Jones is the starter at that point.
Okay, all I know is that really everybody's writing it now. It's a real competition. And I think the people who are saying Bill's going to go with Cam, I mean, you're still one of those, right, Ted? You still think it's going to be Cam week one?
I do.
I think people are willing to back off it a little bit now. I know you're still saying it'll happen, but like, would you be shocked if Mac started week one?
I would.
You'd still be shocked. It's not your prediction. You'd be shocked if Mac is the starter week one.
I do. Just because you can't go back to Cam. My feeling is I don't think Cam.
You said that earlier, right?
From an emotional standpoint, the Cam. So if you're gonna go start with Mac, Cam's got to go. I just don't think he's gonna be. Like, he says all the right things now. But there has been signs, and we've seen indicators out there that maybe when Cam, things aren't going well for him, or he's not playing well, or the kid's getting more shine than him, sulk, maybe suck his thumb a little bit. And that, Bill does not want that in his locker room.
It's funny you should say that, because up now on social media, I don't see a timestamp on this. So is this from last night? Is this recently? Glashy, I don't have Instagram, Glashy.
Let me check it.
If you could go to an hour ago. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
He put out on Instagram, rather, "I'm far from perfect, but loyalty, I deserve it," is what Cam Newton put out on social media.
Today?
In the last hour.
In the last hour.
1 hour ago. Yep.
You know what? I tell you what. I wish Cam and I could just have a beer together, and he would just tell me because...
He's been done brilliant. So dirty starting every week and then being brought back when the rest of the NFL didn't want him. Bill's really done him real dirty.
My first reaction to that, it's brilliant. Cam Newton, he knows what buttons to press. Do you remember, it was a week ago, he had a bad practice in the second padded practice. Brilliant practice in that first practice.
Yep.
Second padded practice, not so good.
And
later that day, he was mopey. Jimmy Stewart's talking on his saying, "Hey, somebody in the locker room's telling me that the body language has been terrible in the locker room after that bad practice." And then the next day, Cam is basically singing the praises of Bill. He's driving around. He puts a 14-minute Instagram post out there where he is basically just singing the praises of Bill Belichick. And I think, brilliant, brilliant. Keep going out, being public, saying how great the organization is. Warrior mentality. Bill puts a war. And I'm sitting there thinking, Cam, you have no reason to talk like this unless you know how to scratch that itch for Bill. I think Bill, he knows what Bill's weakness is. Well, Bill is susceptible to those kind of charms, I think.
Aren't there two ways to read this, though? "I'm far from perfect, but loyalty, I deserve it." Is that to the fans? That'd be one way to read
it. Okay, well, that's fair. Yeah.
Or is that to Bill?
I'm jumping to conclusions and assuming it's Bill.
So that's the better way to read it in my estimation. That's the more interesting way to read it. "I'm far from perfect, but loyalty, I deserve it." What is that, a demand to Bill? You deserve it?
Hashtag photo dump.
But don't you think Cam Newton carries himself in a way that where you could see what he's saying? He believes that. I feel like he's playing.
Yeah, but if he feels like he needs to say it on social media, then can't he do what Curran's doing, where we all see it, which was Curran's reference there at the top of the column? Like,
ask Drew Bledsoe about loyalty. Hey, Cam, you want to see how loyal Bill is? Why don't you call Drew and say, Cam, do you know how Bill Belichick operates? Typically, he does not. You know, guys that are playing at your ability don't get to play.
Ask Tom Brady. Shoved him out the door.
Fair point,
Ted. Correct me if I'm wrong. You were on over the weekend. I think it was with Joe Murray. And your reaction to that 14-minute long Instagram reel that he put up. Didn't you say, he kind of talks too much? Like, why even put this out there?
You know what? I think that's a good question. I think the more he talks, the worse it is for him. But usually when he's talking, he's praising the Patriots. Somehow he's glowingly talking about Bill Belichick. And so the reason I feel like he's talking is because no one's saying, "Hey, Cam, keep quiet," because he's the ambassador. He's really, the value in Cam is more than Bill, just
Bill's
making passes.
Bill's like, "Stop with all the compliments.
Please, I can't."
Too much.
Yeah, he's the perfect ambassador because
Lord knows Bill needs it right now. Bill needs it right now because this radio station, at least, has not been overly friendly. And he hasn't deserved to have the benefit of the doubt based on the way the last year has gone. So that's Bill needs all the compliments he can get. He's not telling Cam to knock it off.
Totally agree. Because every time he opens his mouth, he's talking in glowing terms about this franchise and how great you have to be to play here and this their standard that they have here, what they expect. He's the perfect ambassador for this team right now. And let's face it, there's huge value for that Bill sees in that.
You know what I'm coming around on, Jones? And we had this discussion with Hardy yesterday. Mac Jones last night, the way he looked, it was all about Mac Jones, right? But if it's Cam, folks connect Bill and Cam because Bill is getting the most out of Cam. Mac Jones last night, that was the Mac Jones show, not the Bill Belichick.
That's why you draft quarterbacks in the first round and not in the fourth round like Jarrett Stidham.
And I said this, and this might, you know what, a lot of people just, there's a disconnect. They can't wrap their heads around this. When I say, who do you think Bill wants to win more with? Cam Newton or Mac Jones?
The Super Bowl. Said it to Murray.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Well, I agree.
He wants to win with Cam Newton.
Let me ask it another way. I agree.
Whether or not he thinks he's better off with Cam doesn't matter sometimes to Bill. It's hard for people to believe that.
Who would he rather win with? Cam.
Not even
who's more likely to win with?
Mac. Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean,
right away,
I don't know, but
sure,
yeah, eventually,
fairy tale fantasy land. Yeah, I'd rather win with Cam.
Right.
In reality, Mac's the only chance you have at winning anything. So Tom Curran says, time to make the switch. Tick tock. Time to make the switch. Cam Newton says, either to the fans or, as I choose to read into it, Bill Belichick, I'm far from perfect, but loyalty, I deserve it. Last night felt like a changing of the guard, and the fallout today, I think, continues that narrative. More from Brendan Glasheen here on Hub Headlines, 617-779-0985. Lottie, you're waiting patiently. We'll get to your phone.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone!
Give us, if you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.1240 here on the Sports Hub. Adam Jones, Ted Johnson in for Zoe and Beetle on a finish strong Friday, clearly. We're reacting to, well, what we saw from the quarterbacks last night. We're also reacting to Cam Newton on social media. And I agree with, and I didn't express it this way, but when I said it's a message to Bill, like, this is what I mean. And I think Javi had a great tweet to you and I, Ted. I read this as Cam has been told he's no longer the starter. And that's what I mean. When I say message to Bill, that's what I meant. And I didn't do a good job explaining that. Like, I'm far from perfect, but loyalty, I deserve it. And by the way, the picture is, and I should have set this up too, and I don't know if we can show it on the screens here at NBC Sports Boston or not, but, you know, head down, hat on, walking out after the game last night. I don't know. That was my exact thought, and I didn't do the greatest job crystallizing it. Has he been told by Bill that, oh yeah, we're going with the kid?
There's 10 photos in it.
Oh, there's 10 photos in it. Okay,
I said hashtag photo dump. That's what that means.
Got it. So what? So how can, are they all somber like that?
All right. So it looks like there's a close up of him holding
Hooters
his bag.
Hooters Columbia shirt.
Hooters Columbia.
Columbia.
Nice.
And it's him.
Cartagena, maybe. I don't know where the Hooters Columbia is. Yes.
Close up of his wristband.
Yep.
Then it's a wider shot of him just walking into the stadium. Then the Hooters shirt. Him holding his bags. Close up of his beard. It's just okay. All. He's got a Joker card in his hat.
Wow. Yeah, with a Joker card.
So you think, Adam, this is a response to finding out, perhaps, that he's been demoted to second string and that this is his way of...
I'm wondering. I'm not saying it definitively, but I wonder, because there are a couple ways to read it. Maybe there's three. I said it first, there's two. He's been demoted. Boom. Yeah. I'm taking to social media. I deserve loyalty. I'm far from perfect, but I thought I at least had loyalty. To which I would say again, Cam, I think Bill's been pretty loyal. He brought you back when no one else wanted you. He started you every week last year, outside of your COVID week. So I think he's been pretty loyal. I think he gave you more chances than most people would. And I don't mean to say that Bill's the most loyal in the world, but at least with Cam, he's been pretty loyal. So there's that way. There's also, he's feeling it, and he's like, hey, Bill, by the way, I better get some loyalty.
He's being preemptive.
And then the third is, he knows he has Bill's loyalty, and he's like, shut up, all you stupid fans, people on talk radio. You don't know what you're talking about. And so I'm wondering if he's already been told. Yes, and I would agree with the tweet from Javi that maybe he has been.
I feel like two of the three options that you just laid out, two of them are bad for him.
Yes,
one of them, I'm thinking is he's being preemptive. Like, don't think about demoting me or making me second string. Hey, remember loyalty, what that means. The other two that you suggested, like, it could mean that Bill's already told him and he's firing back at Bill in his way, or he's firing back at the fans. Either one of those two is not a good look. I need more information. I need to hear more from Cam, his body language, how he's behaving, more time with the media before we can really know for sure if it's a shot at Bill. But that's an interesting tweet. Let's just face it. I think that's a very interesting tweet to put out today, considering what happened last night.
And timing is everything with that sort of stuff, right, on social media. Hashtag photo dump. I didn't realize there was more than one photo there, so excuse me. Let's go back to the phones. Al is in Everett. What's up, Al?
Hello.
Can I first recognize, before I speak to the great Ted Johnson, can I first recognize Adam Jones for being way ahead of the curve?
You're embracing.
Being on top of this Belichick-Brady thing, you've been on it longer than anybody, and I want you to know it doesn't go unrecognized.
Great.
And you know who you're sitting next to, right, Adam?
Yes.
You're sitting next to the great Ted Johnson. Ted Johnson played for not only the myth that is Bill Belichick, that was the myth that was created by the brilliance of Tom Brady, but he also played for the real greatest coach of all time in any sport, Bill Parcells. You know, not too many guys can say that, Ted. Not too many guys can say that.
Okay, so
I'm
sorry. Yeah, go keep going. No, keep going.
Go ahead.
I was going to say I forgot. I didn't quite recognize. Now I'm recognizing as the call goes on. I forgot. Alan Everett is so pro
Parcells.
Pro Bill Parcells.
Big fan of Parcells.
Shame on me. Yes.
That's how it started 25 years ago. Anyway, what we need here is, and I implore the season ticket holders and all the Patriot fans out there, for Bill Belichick to get away scot-free and have no fans down there last, because he would have got booed off the field after that Buffalo game at least last year. Opening game, everybody better, at least half the stadium that's all Brady fans, better at least boo him for what he did to Tom Brady. He deserves that. He shouldn't get off scot-free.
You're saying week four?
I'm saying week one.
Okay, week one. I thought he was saying when Brady made his return. So I wouldn't say that was I thought I was getting an unbiased compliment there. No. I'm getting a very biased compliment there. But whatever, I'll take it. I'll take what I can get. I mean, look, they would have got booed last year. There's no doubt about it. If there were fans in the building, they would have got booed last year. And, I mean, if Cam's out there week one and they suck, they'll get booed. Yes.
They will get booed. And that's why I'm fascinated to see what the reaction is of the fans. That's why I wanted to see last night how they responded with Cam being out there versus Mac Jones being out there. And let's face it, now more than ever, it could potentially play a factor. I think it's just the overall, what is the attitude of this team? Let's face it. You go 7-9 times winning Super Bowls. The crowds aren't as great as they were out there at training camp. I was out there. I couldn't believe how
thin
few people were there.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be very fascinating to see what, the decision is made, because I think to some degree it's out of Bill's hands. And I said this, I think Robert Kraft had an influence in bringing Mac Jones here, or getting him drafted here with the 15th overall pick. So if RKK can have an impact in drafting this kid,
have an impact in getting him on the field, sure, he runs the show.
That's it.
Let me ask you this. I think Bill likes Mac Jones as a prospect. I don't know if he liked him at 15.
Totally agree.
So I've said this a bunch, and I'm curious your thoughts on it. I've said if Bill could have flipped the draft at the top, taken Barmore at 15 or traded back and gotten Barmore in the 20s and then gotten Mac Jones in the second round, Bill would have rather have done it that way. Yep. Right?
I think so. And you know why I think is a big thing is Bill doesn't want to just give this kid, particularly that position. He'd rather him draft him late so that there's zero expectations and no pressure on him to start the kid.
Oh, and Bill just doesn't want to. If you take a quarterback in the first round, how special are you as a coach? Not to go full Allen Everett here, but you won with a first round quarterback. Woo, nobody does that. Let's squeeze in another one here, because I do. I think you agree with this thought process. Tom is in Newton. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. I just had a question for Ted, you know, being a guy that played in the league. You know, I know last year, you know, when Cam was signed last summer, listening to the station, you know, people were talking about, you know, Cam, you know, whether he's mediocre or not, he is an icon in the league. He's a guy who players really like. They like being around him. He's a flashy guy. So it's really not a matter of if, but when the decision's made to promote Mac over Cam. I'm just curious, you know, within the locker room, like how guys might react to that. I mean, do they just recognize business as business, or do they want to respect the process more and give Cam his due? Like, how do you think that's going to go over for the rest of the team when, you know, Bill finally pushes that button? Thanks.
That's the whole key. That's the whole key, because Bill's worried about that. Bill's number one concern is his locker room. He's worried about losing these guys. He's worried about them not being buying in. He's terrified of that. Every head coach should be worried about your guys not buying in.
Especially for Bill after last year.
That's the whole point. It's context. People need context. It's after you went 7-9. And plus, there's a lot of really kind of great, good players on this team that weren't here before, that are new. So they don't know how Bill operates. And so they're watching, and they need to. He cares about what they think of the quarterback position. And if they're starting to go, if he feels as if his guys on his team that he deems as leaders are starting to kind of look at him sideways with this Cam Newton thing, he's in trouble, and he needs those guys on his side. And so whoever those guys, the leaders, the vets, the alpha dogs, the guys that have can impact and influence younger guys, if they like the kid, Mac Jones, it'll be a hell of a lot easier for Bill to put the kid in there.
Well, so this ties in, by the way, with one veteran that Ted Johnson. Ted Johnson watched a few snaps of said veteran in camp, watched him again last night, and my jaw dropped with the comparison of an expatriate that Ted Johnson compared Matthew Judon to. Let's get to that. With all your phone calls on the quarterbacks, we're not going to ignore the quarterbacks, obviously. But let's get to Ted's comparison for Matthew Judon next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Putting you in the middle of the story, in the middle of the day.
I want to bring the ignorance back to life.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They played limited possessions in their games by nature of their offense.
Judon
in the backfield. Matthew Judon with an impact.
Yeah, I liked what he said this week, too. He said, hey, I'm out there, and if I don't play well, I want you guys to write that because I need to bring it each and every day. And, you know, being a new guy in a new environment, you come out of a locker room like the Ravens, and you come here, you got to bring that edge with you. I like the front seven. I think you got some nastiness up there, and he's a guy that can add it.
He brought 30-plus career sacks from the Ravens to New England with his four-year deal in the offseason.
Matthew Judon looking pretty good. I said earlier, I like everything about him. I like the red sleeves. I like the nine that he wore. How do you feel about those new numbers, Ted?
I think they're cool. It takes me a minute to get used to it, but a lot of people are criticizing it. I think it's cool.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's like college football.
Yep.
I like college football, but like it's, you know, I like seeing the receivers in like number one. You know how much faster Matthew Judon's going to look wearing number nine?
Yeah. It's sleek. Looks sleek.
I mean, Ted, you'd be flying around the field like, you know, like Uche or something like that.
If I had a smaller number.
Yeah. Put you in nine.
Can you imagine the player I would have been?
Oh, my God.
I was like 13 or 9.
It is incredible. Whenever you see your games, your old games on TV, the shoulder pads are big. The first thing that when I watch that Patriots-Rams, and I don't just mean you specifically. I mean like everybody.
Right.
When I watch that Patriots-Rams Super Bowl, it is like, holy crap, the shoulder pads. Mm-hmm. It's the first thing you notice when you watch the game.
Yeah. Well, it's because it was a physical game, and
more,
we didn't know any
more
better.
Physical. Yeah,
it was such a physical football in a phone booth. It's a different game, space game, scheme game, the completely different game. But yeah, it's funny. I mean, I learned over the years that you'd see me kind of get smaller and smaller shoulder pads. When I first got here, I was the kid that didn't know any better. I mean, it's embarrassing. I wore hip and tail pads to my first day of NFL practice. We don't wear those in the NFL, Ted. You don't wear hip pads. You don't wear. And then guys don't wear thigh pads. We don't wear. What about knee pads? Because the littlest amount of weight.
Resistance,
the guys didn't like, which, I had to protect myself more than most. But it's a game where guys want to have as little as possible restricting them or slowing them down.
Including that big clunky number in the 50s, like not Judon flying around the field at nine. I swear to God, he looks faster.
I would make the same case for Mac Jones. Even like the 10 just makes him look a little more slim.
Yeah,
than the 50.
I mean, you know, what's the body type again there?
Soup sandwich. It's a bit of a soup sandwich.
He's got to work with. Sometimes we got to work with what we got, Mac. I feel you.
The 10 tightens him up, though, in my opinion.
Us Joneses, yeah, keeps it high and tight. I agree.
Yeah,
but flying around in the red sleeves, the number nine. You, Ted, you sent your notes. And it ties right into what we were talking about with Mac Jones, because maybe Matthew Judon's one of these vets that Bill says, oh, wait, you're a Mac Jones guy, and the locker room kind of follows how you go. It makes it easier for Bill to go with these veterans and make the quarterback switch, rather, if the veterans that he trusts or the veterans that he's entrusting are in the Mac Jones camp over the Cam Newton camp. But you put in your notes today. And for those of you out there who don't know, Ted Johnson always sends notes, always very prepared when he comes in. And this one, my jaw dropped when I read it. Your comparison for Matthew Judon is who again?
It was with Rodney Harrison. So Rodney Harrison, when he came in 2003, had this, he had an impact with us right away. And what was really the thing that jumped out at you was his vocal leadership and just the way he took ownership. I mean, Rodney was on a team that had a lot of established veterans and a lot of guys that were alpha dogs at every single level of the defense. And Rodney came in and kind of basically established himself as one of the top dogs and very early on in his time here. And my feeling is that Bill, that's exactly what Bill wanted him to do. Bill wanted Rodney to come in here and say, we need edge. You give us edge. You have attitude. And he's hitting guys late in practice, which was something that he'd always kind of been known for doing when he played for the San Diego Chargers. You know, and it wasn't dirty, but it was aggressive. And it was with attitude. And it was with edge. And so we all kind of, you know, let's face it, that, you know, Rodney's, I love the guy. And so the way he played, we all kind of rallied around that, and I think that was exactly what Bill wanted in bringing Rodney in. My feeling is he was doing the same thing with this kid, Matthew Judon. I was at practice last week in a padded practice, and I'm watching just Matthew Judon. Just how does he act? How does he behave? And he's the guy getting on guys, yelling, screaming, hyping guys up, and he's not even in the play. He's on the sideline, and I'm just sitting there going, that's why Bill brought him in, or at least – Bill, when he got here, he said to Matthew, take ownership. I need guys with edge. I need guys with attitude. And so the way Matthew Judon handles himself is a guy that has been told by the head coach, I want you to be exactly who you are. Take ownership. Take leadership. Because I feel like Bill felt like there was a void there. There was. This defense had no edge. They couldn't stop the run. There was nobody in that front seven last year that was going to stand up and say enough is enough. Matthew Judon brings edge. He brings a little bit of, you know, brings this confidence with him, and he feels like he needs that because this team was devoid of that so much last year. And I mentioned another guy that he didn't come up much last night. He did maybe in the negative, is Jalen Mills, who's got this edge. So I compared, I compared Judon to Rodney for that reason because I think Bill felt like then he needed a little bit of a spark, at least in the secondary, with guys who have an edge like Rodney. And then Judon's that guy with the edge in the front seven. And you're seeing him not only making plays, but being a leader. And my feeling is you will hear him being announced as a captain and probably in the next week when they vote on captain.
So, again, Ted, I know how this works because fans hear it and they go, oh, Ted Johnson said he's going to be Rodney Harrison. You know, it's like somehow like people don't listen anymore, Ted. You know, like somehow I get this overly negative caricature of me. Like I'm like some negative guy, some glass half empty guy.
I mean, to be fair, they play different positions, but.
But you're not talking the impact on the field necessarily, and maybe Matthew Judon will have that kind of impact. That'd be an incredible impact. Mm-hmm. You're talking about from a leadership, edge, tone-setting standpoint.
Identity. This defense has no identity. You got to have an identity on defense. You got to have an edge. You got to have a defense that's got something with some bite, and you need vocal leaders that will take ownership of the defense. And you're seeing a lot of these guys. It's not only Matthew Judon, but if you listen to a lot of the free agents, they talk. It's like they've been here forever. My feeling is Bill has told them, act like you've been here for a long time. Don't be shy. Don't act like, you know, you're new. Come in and act like you're the guy. And that's kind of what I'm seeing from some of these guys.
Interesting comparison. I love the comparison. And, you know, I had my qualms about Judon when he first signed. I'm like, Baltimore doesn't typically let good guys get away. But then Judon had the comment in training camp like, hey, grade me each and every day at training camp. That's your job. That's my job to show up. Loved it. Loved him in nine. Loved him flying around wearing red.
Who said something like that on this defense, Adam, last year? Nobody.
Great point.
Nobody talks like that.
It's another case of him being empowered by Bill, maybe. Yeah.
He is fully committed.
And by the way, if that's the kind of message that Judon is sending, that's what he's saying publicly if he's doing the same thing in the locker room, good pick by Bill. Good pick by Bill. I try to temper my compliments for Bill Belichick, but good pick by Bill.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.